you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello. I'm Nikki Paranormal, and you are listening to Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I am going to be one of the hosts this evening. The other host is Rob, as many know him, and I introduce him as, and I've got to give him a big, big, strong welcome, when I bring him up. But I'm going to work him up even more right now. Rob, the owner of Live Paranormal, Mr. Live Paranormal. And real quick, before I introduce our guest, I would like to remind everybody, if you are listening and you are not over in the Live Paranormal chat room, well, go over there and join us within the chat. I'm actually heading there myself. If you join us in the Live Interactive chat room, you can ask your questions, view the host cams. Other people in the room may have their cameras on. So you can check out the banter, the paranormal banter. And it's a lot of fun, great community. You can learn many, many things from liveparanormal.com, as I have. And it's, you're like-minded individuals. So it's a great thing to do. So head on over to www.liveparanormal.com to take advantage of all that the site offers. And I'm also going to take the opportunity to bring up the Paranormal Supercon, because I'm, of course, biased. It's my favorite paranormal event, which is the Paranormal Supercon. And it is fantastic. Live Paranormal presents the event. And that's going to be in Erie, Pennsylvania, July 24th and 25th. And I just can't even name the number of people that are going to be there, whether it's the featured guest or the vendors. It's an awesome, awesome event. As I said, I'm sure I'm biased, because I'm going to be there and I really enjoy it, but absolutely fantastic event. Check it out. If you're within the Erie, Pennsylvania area, even if you're not, jump on a plane, join us. It will definitely be worth your time, your travel. I mean, it's going to be great. We've got investigations lined up, and I personally am looking forward to it so much that it's like my vacation. So it's going to be a great time. So that's ParanormalSupercon.com. Get your tickets now. There are investigations with limited numbers of tickets because we at Live Paranormal do smaller investigations to be able to, give you that real paranormal investigation type feeling. It's some awesome locations. So check it out. I don't need to talk about it anymore because it'll, explain itself once you go take a look at it. So I'm going to bring on the owner and my lovely other host, Rob, as well as our guest, Nick Lance. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring those two guys on in. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going? I like the introduction of myself is lovely this year, or this episode. Last episode, you didn't give me an introduction. I know I said that I was upset about it, and I'm going to have to question.
Well, that is why I explained. I don't know if you heard that part, but I explained that I was going to give you a incredibly large and super amazing, welcome, because, you weren't pleased with one of the other welcomes that I had given you, so I wanted to make sure that this one was large and just absolutely insane. I also talked about the Paranormal Supercon because, as I said, I'm biased, but,
All you came up with is lovely. So the big reveal of the introduction was, they said, lovely co-host. That's all I got.
Lovely, fantastic, wonderful. The owner of Live Paranormal.
I guess
the man who makes it happen here.
Last week, for those of you listening, she was like, hey, that guy. So
yeah, that guy, Rob. Ugh. I could have done that, okay? I didn't do that.
You didn't get the bad guy this time, but I guess beggars can't be choosers for your life. It's good. So let's bring on our...
Yeah, I'd love to hear your introduction of me. I'm pretty sure it's my introduction for you is much, much more fantastic than one that you would give me.
Probably much more nice.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah, there's that Mickey chick. Yeah, anyway.
Next week, I will be doing the introduction. It'll be fantastic. Because we have Chip Coffee on next week. And we'll
yes.
be promoting a couple of cool things with Chip Coffee. A contest and talking about his appearance at Paranormal Supercon. So let's now bring on Nick. And I will let Nick introduce himself, and we'll talk to Nick.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and bring him in now. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I guess you said the lovely Nick based on Nikki's introduction today myself. So I don't know if you caught that or not, but usually she gives me a good introduction. She's given me two subpar in chairs the past 2 weeks. So we have to work on that. Last week it was lovely. This week it was lovely. I don't think many people when they think of me as lovely, but maybe
they should.
I'm turning over a new leaf as lovely. That's my new thing. So our guest today is Lance, and I had known of him, but we never met in person until last weekend in York, Pennsylvania. And it turned out we attended the same college, so it was kind of a cool conversation. I had my first paranormal experience, a huge paranormal experience, in Athens, Ohio, and Nick has written a book about Athens. So, Nick, why don't you go ahead and give a little self-introduction.
All right. Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me on. It was actually pretty funny when you told me that you went to Ohio University as well. I just was not expecting to bump into a fellow Bobcat at that convention, so that was really cool. But like you said that was your first paranormal experience you had there. Well, it's Athens, Ohio is definitely the first paranormal experience a lot of people have. I started college there in 2012, I wrote a book about the ghosts and legends of Athens, Ohio, because there's so much there. So just a little bit, I guess, about me, a little background info. I'm a paranormal researcher and investigator. My mom, Deb Lance, is a psychic medium. And we go around conventions and give lectures. Our most popular lecture is called Past Lives, the Reincarnation of a Confederate Soldier. And basically, that story is about my personal experience of going through the process of remembering a past life and then the steps I took to validate these memories with historical research. And over time, from doing these conventions and giving these lectures, some producers in Los Angeles actually heard about us and gave us a call one day. So as a result, we were on season 2, episode 5 of the TV show Ghosts Inside My Child on LMN. So that was a really fun experience. That aired just this past fall, not long after my book actually came out. My book came out just a couple of weeks before last Halloween, so everything kind of happened all at once. And I've been super, super busy, so now this summer has kind of been my re-entry into the convention circuit, because I haven't really been going around much since I've been doing so much lately.
I think that's a perfect segue to make the announcement that you will be at the 2015 Live Paranormal Supercon. So I think you set me up for that announcement, so that's great. I appreciate that. So it's going to be great to have you at the Supercon. We have you doing a lecture, so the lecture you just spoke about, I believe you will be doing at the Supercon. Your mom will, and she will be doing a lecture. So it's kind of, the purpose of my interview on top of, just your awesome body of work. And, you know, let's not talk about Athens. I think the only downside of our conversation was you telling me that every single landmark and every single thing that I had remembered about Athens is no longer there. You're like, nah, that's gone. Nope. You're like, you know, you're way too old. This was, that's what I thought of that. I was like, man. I'm like, yo, how about this place? You're like, nah, I never heard of that. This place? No,
yeah.
That's not. There was like one place that we had talked about that was actually still there. And that saddened me. So I guess we'll maybe leave that there, because if we keep talking about that, I'll start crying. I'll have to pass on the entire interview to make it.
It's funny because I'm actually a tour guide for Ohio University, and I gave a tour to a group of alumni a couple weeks ago, and it was funny. They were just talking to me about how much everything's changed since they graduated, so it was really fun because they actually told me a lot about OU and a lot about the stories of Athens that I didn't know about, while at the same time I was telling them all about the new stuff we have in Athens, so it was really interesting. But yeah, a lot has changed couple of years.
What years were they from?
One group, they graduated in like 93, and then I had another group that graduated in the early 60s. So pretty two different groups.
Well, that makes me feel better because I'm in neither. My last year there was in 99, so that's
okay.
Not as bad. So now I'm on the upswing. Now I feel much better about this interview. Much better. But, you know, you did say about the Ping Center stuff still being there, so that's great. So you're a tour guide, and you mentioned you're trying to do some more stuff with the whole ghost hunting and paranormal stuff there, and you've had a couple obstacles, which we, you know, and the funny thing is when I was there, there was some professors and stuff that embraced the I guess the whole paranormal lore of Athens. You know, they would send extra activities. There was activities after school, you know, hours. They would do presentations and stuff. So it was relevant even, you know, back in the day long ago. I guess my questions for you is prior to Athens, and obviously if you know, the reincarnation and past lives and stuff. What really got you interested into, you know, the paranormal prior to being in Athens and then leading up to what you saw in Athens? So give us a quick breakdown of this.
Right. Well, my mom, first off, is a psychic medium. So right from the get-go, I've kind of been born into the world of the strange and bizarre. She was involved with several paranormal groups when I was younger, so I was always kind of open to it. And eventually, I was actually pretty young for most groups, but when I was probably 15 or 16, actually, a paranormal group invited me to be a member, even though I was pretty young. You know, I was a little different than most 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. Just because of my background and experience. So I got involved in paranormal investigations pretty early on. And then besides that, also in my old house, we moved out of there when I was probably 12 years old. But prior to that, my old house had a lot of activity going on in it. So there's a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of scary memories in the old house from when I was a kid. So I've kind of been around it. I mean, as long as I can remember, honestly. So it's just kind of a part of, you know, who I am and where I come from, really.
Now, what about when you got to Athens? Did you seek out paranormal, like, activity, or did something happen to spark something in Athens, or was it something you went with the preconception of, hey,
right.
Athens is, you know, at the time, it's fluctuated. Number one, apparently when I was there, back to number one in most haunted cities, well, based on the publication or the source too. So you know, it has its following as a paranormal hotbed.
Yeah.
For colleges, but you know what? I would say the majority of I went around to a lot of colleges, a lot of friends in college, and traveled. And every college that I remember going to had similar stories when it comes to, paranormal haunting about someone, being killed
right.
in their dorm, and that room is no lights been boarded off, the numbers skip or whatever. And I think that's one of those that oh you too, or someone died and then they, I forget what dorm that was, but I think every major college had the same story about someone dying in a dorm and that dorm room no longer available and it's been boarded up and you can still
right.
hear footsteps and all that. But when it comes to Athens, there's a lot of preconception of being haunted. So what, I guess going into it, did you have that preconception you were going to go out and seek out the paranormal, or did you have an activity that kind of sparked your interest in then seeking it out?
Well, I definitely didn't initially seek anything out. I knew going in that it was a very haunted college. I won't lie to you. That may or may not have been a very small part in me deciding to go there. But I definitely, when I got there, I definitely didn't go seeking anything out. But my dorm room or my dorm building on my freshman year, there's no known, ghost stories associated with the building. But with that being said, we definitely had a lot of really bizarre experiences that not just me, but all the guys on my floor noticed. And obviously because, they live with me or down the hall, we all became really good friends, and they kind of knew me as the ghost guy on campus. So, they knew about me and what I do. So when they started experiencing stuff there, they obviously felt very comfortable sharing their experiences with me. So just because I already had that reputation of being the ghost guy on campus, people were already very open about sharing their experiences with me. So I became immediately aware of all the things that were going on throughout the building. So pretty much right from the get-go, my freshman year, I started hearing about all these stories and all these experiences people were having. Even the resident assistants, the RAs, they would come down and tell me their stories. And it was really interesting because they actually had, access to places that not everyone did. So their stories tended to be a little bit more unique. And then as I was there longer and longer, I started exploring a little bit more. And, of course, we have the abandoned insane asylum up on the hill. So that's kind of a gold mine. So, we started going up there and checking that place out. Over time, we just started learning about all of the stories in Athens. And then eventually someone asked, a publishing company through a friend came to me and wanted me to write a book about Athens. So that's how I kind of got started writing the book about Athens and sort of compiling all this research into all the ghost stories. And it was amazing because there's a lot of ghost stories to sift through. There's a lot more I could have included in the book. It all just came down to me deciding what I think was most important, because there's plenty of stories, but not all of them are, necessarily able to, you can't really validate them, or they're nothing more than just stories. So there's plenty more I could have added to the book, but didn't. So the stuff that's in my book is really just the meat of the overall ghost stories of Athens.
Well, I can tell you, I did not go to Athens for the paranormal. When I went on my recruiting trip, they had hot girls there, and the ratio from girls to boys, and the ratio was the highest, I think, and out of the recruiting trips I made, so it was great. I was like, we'll go there. But, I think with the ridges, who hasn't snuck around at the ridges?
Oh, right.
Did you happen to, I know I mentioned this to you at the convention, but there was a YouTube video that was circulated back from when I was there, probably 97 or 98, that, I don't know if it's still there. I should have looked up prior to our interview, because I'm putting those both on the spot, because I told you about it, but I did not look it up, and you probably
right.
didn't look it up either. So this is going to go absolutely nowhere. But those of you who, want, from or you or who have not heard of the Ridges, it's a place that's been, how many years do you think people have used that as a haunted location? Over 20 from my knowledge. I forget what year it had closed, but it's got that. It's got everything that you could want for an asylum, with the blood stains and the pure creepiness of it. And back when I was there, I think it was in a lot worse shape than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it closed down in '93. So when you were there, it was probably still when it was just freshly abandoned. So it was probably pretty messy. Nowadays, there's still sections of the building that are abandoned, but the main center of the building is actually used as an art gallery, and then there's certain floors throughout the building that are actually used as studios for the grad students in the art department. But, the stories have been circulating about that building for decades, most of which, like the body stain, for example, that kind of originates from the late 70s. As do a lot of the stories, and based off of my research, one of the things I found out is there's a major surge in paranormal activity in the 70s, and there's a lot of theories to go, with that, in terms of drug experimentation and a renewed interest and sort of the supernatural. But a lot of the more famous stories in Athens kind of originate from the 70s, which I thought was just kind of interesting. The body stain, that's probably the most famous story of, originating from the Ridges. In the early 2000s, I believe, Scariest Places on Earth on Fox actually shot an episode at Ohio University. They did a segment in the Ridges, and they did a segment at one of the haunted residence halls. And I believe the episode's called Satan's Dormitory, but, they shot an episode at OU. Naturally, of course, they highly embellished it and kind of left out a lot of the facts. And they just told the highly dramatized version of the story. But it's cool nonetheless that OU actually got that publicity. That was actually quite a while ago. It's still on YouTube, I think, if I remember right.
Well, we're just shooting off a bunch of potential YouTube things for people to look up, and we don't know if it's really on or not. So we're doing an awful job getting a resource of things that potentially can't be on YouTube or Matt. But I have, when I was there, the placement of the cemeteries was also a big deal. Is that still today when it comes to the cemeteries in Athens?
Are you talking about the whole pentagram thing?
Yeah.
That's one of the stories I do write about, but it's actually total BS. The story is that there's five major cemeteries in Athens, and if you connect the dots, it forms a pentagram with Ohio University right in the middle.
Right.
But the thing is, I pulled a map of all the known cemeteries in the Athens area, not including the unknown ones, and there's hundreds and hundreds, because it's a very old city. So it really comes down to a game of connect the dots. That's one of the stories I wrote about because it is so famous, but it actually turns out to be nothing more than just a story, just a local legend.
What are your favorite stories that you've researched in Athens?
Naturally, I'm going to say that the story of the body stain, just because that's the most famous one, and it's also a true story, which is really nice. A lot of people, they hear the story of the body stain, and they'll ask me, wait, that's actually true? I'm like, yeah, I've actually been up there. I've seen it. I've taken pictures of it. Like, oh, wow. So a lot of people don't realize it's actually a true story. And then I'd say probably my second favorite is the story of Wilson Hall, which is actually the resident hall they featured in Scariest Places on Earth, that episode. The story of Wilson, it's the story itself is highly embellished. It's a crazy, crazy legend. And through my research, I was able to find out that over time, there were several little incidents that over time kind of blended together with years and years of oral storytelling and became the story it is today. But essentially, the legend is that, you know, in the 70s, there's a girl practicing Satanism and black magic in her dorm room. And, you know, people started hearing weird chanting and no one had seen her for days. And finally, the RA went to her room and found the girl's body. And she had slit her wrists and written satanic scripture all over the walls. Well, none of that's true. But that's what the story is. And that's, of course, that's the story that they shared on Scariest Places on Earth. The true story is several different little incidents. But basically, there was a girl in the 70s who an RA passing down the hall saw an altar in her room and kind of freaked out. And they kind of built up a little story around it. But eventually when the RAs talked to the girl and asked her about it, it turns out that was her little meditation station. Like she had like a Buddha and like an incense and candles and stuff. That's just where she would meditate. It's like, I have one of those in my room too. It's just where I sit and meditate. So when they actually asked her about it, she was happy to explain, yeah, there's nothing. It's just where I meditate. But with that being said, even back in the 70s, people thought that Wilson Hall was severely haunted because that girl told the RA that there were actually a couple of girls who were Satanists down the hall that practiced black magic, but they had moved there because they heard that Wilson Hall was super haunted and they wanted to be around that. So that girl said that she personally believed that the girls were trying to summon spirits just kind of made the activity worse. So even back in the 70s, there was lots of stories about Wilson Hall going around. But basically, you had those two stories going around, and then there's the whole thing about the blood on the wall. Well, the girl actually drew a red dragon on the wall with crayons. So apparently, over years of storytelling, that turned into blood and satanic scripture on the walls. So it's really, like I said, it's probably one of my favorite stories, but only because it's a very, very interesting example of how storytelling over years can just create a whole new story, really. So it's more interesting. But that, and then of course, like I said, that the ridges has got to be number one. It's because you have the body stain, and it's actually a true story. So it kind of stands out in my mind for sure.
Well, it's one that, you know, the alumni over the past 25 years have probably always enjoyed. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's one that everyone knows, and it's probably the most, you know.
Yeah. Were you ever able to go up and see the body stain yourself?
We went up. I don't know if I actually saw the stain or not. We were there for a couple of seconds, and we thought we had heard people downstairs. And then we never found anybody. So that might have been the paranormal activity right there in general. So,
right.
You know, who knows? That we were like, oh, shit, you know, somebody, we got to go.
Right.
You know, that window we jumped in is probably not meaning that we could have had access to the building.
Right.
You know, and at that time, I was there as a preferred walk-on for baseball, and that would have been bad. I don't need to have lost my, you know, baseball career over sneaking around the building.
Right, that's right.
Awful. So, I was there twice, but never made it to see the stain myself. So we were up there, we were, you know, right around, and so I would be lying just for the fact of, you know, the radio interview to tell you, like, yeah, I saw it, I loved it, I took a picture by it and stuff, but no. So
right.
I guess I could have made up a fabricated story just for radio purposes. But
right.
You know,
well, if you ever find yourself down in Athens, I'll be more than happy to take you up there and show it to you.
I might come. I haven't been here in so long, but then I might revert back to me feeling old.
I want to go. I want to go there. I want to see the body stain. I want to see. I want to go to the asylum.
It's a pretty fun place. It's like my playground.
I love asylum.
It's probably not available in paranormal. It's probably just something we can go see like during the day, correct?
You say that again?
That's probably just. You know, we could probably go see it during the day. There's probably no way to actually do an investigation there, right?
I have my ways.
Well, we had our ways too. It was like a broken window. But I don't know.
You could definitely get in through the broken window, but I also have more legal ways of getting in as well. That's actually when I wrote my book, the chapter about the ridges. I actually write about an investigation we did inside the ridges, and I talk about that. And that was, you know, we had somebody let us in, and you know, we set up all of our equipment. So that was much more a formal investigation. So there are ways of doing it. It's just kind of tricky.
Well, I think we should do it because I want to go back there. And let's face the facts. I'm coming off a broken hip, and at my age, I can't outrun anybody. So, you know, I'll be the guy that gets caught and takes a fall for the whole team. So, you know, to do a legitimate one would be fantastic. So, you know, on top of doing a final plug at the end of the show, I guess, since we've been talking about the book, we've been talking about Athens, and I think, unfortunately, I probably will take you up on that offer at some point. You know, we're just going to show up like, hey, we're here. But why don't you give a plug to where our listeners can buy the book. Is there an easy link to send them to buy the book? Mm-hmm. So we posted a link in our chat room, but it was way too long for me to read.
Right. Well, if you're in Athens, you can get it at Follett University Bookstore. But if you're not in Athens, you can just go on Amazon.com, and it's called Ghosts and Legends of Athens, Ohio. And you can just buy it off of Amazon. Also, if you go to my website, www.nlance.com, there'll be a link to where you can buy my book off of my website, as well as, you know, updates on my most recent projects and all the things that I've been doing, and more information about me is on there as well.
What I would also assume that, I guess this would be my preference of how people would buy the book, is they would come out to the Paranormal Supercon and buy the book and have it autographed right there. That would be my preference. So,
even better.
I think that would be ideal for us.
Actually, that reminds me. I need to. I should actually order more books because I actually sold out the rest of mine at Phenomenology. So I need to get more for Paranormal Supercon.
I think you better, because I know that there's more than a couple people that are interested in buying that book. And on top of it, too, you're dealing with being right on the Ohio border. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, OU alumni, or at least people that have, you know, who hasn't gone to Ohio for Halloween? You know, I think the bottom line is even if you're not from OU, I remember the pecking order of people trying to pick out who I would let come to Halloween. Mm-hmm. Cause if you're not from Ohio, you probably didn't even, you know, people are, what the hell is that guy talking about? But, you know, OU is the premier Halloween party school.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah, big time. I always tell people, you go to Boston to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. You go to New York City to celebrate New Year's Eve. But if you want to celebrate Halloween, you go to Athens, Ohio.
And that's a staple in Halloween tradition. And
absolutely.
So, you know, that kind of leads up to, you know, I would say most people have been there. You know, so I think the book it'll be area appropriate for, you know, the people who are coming for attendance. So definitely bring copies. You know, showed up without copies because I wanted to buy a copy before I left, and then I never saw you again. So
yeah, everyone, it was that last day. Everyone kind of just kind of disappear all on their own. So,
like,
but I'll definitely have some more for the SuperCon. That's for sure.
Okay, well, and you know, I think the other thing we should talk about is the past lives. You know, because you'll be doing the lecture at the SuperCon, and you know, I'm not going to ask you to give away the whole lecture because obviously we want people to come to SuperCon to see it, but we want to kind of pump them up to get there, because we have you down for what I call, I believe, Nikki, we have high noon. Isn't that what we pay for? High noon?
Yeah.
I get into calling.
Yep.
I got into calling noon, high noon, maybe like 6 months ago, and I haven't stopped.
High noon. I'm not sure exactly if that's noon sharp, you know what I mean, like, or what exactly. So, Rob, what is that? What is high noon? Is that 12.00 or what?
Funny thing, I thought I knew it had to do with, I don't want to butcher it up. And it's funny because we researched, like, the most bizarre thing that life are normal, like, our whole phenomenology trip. I was researching what the proper terminology was for strolling. And if someone was going for a stroll, comparing it to a strut, you know, what would be the differences? And we had my good friend Dustin Perry and I were having a good conversation that lasted the entire trip about strolling and what constitutes a proper stroll.
And thereafter.
So, right, and we still, like, the other day he was at a different event this past weekend. He sent me a text message saying, just strolling around. Looking at vendors, so it'll be one of those that go on for many, many years, which will annoy Nikki, or my co-host, and the other people who I've been on, but it's what makes it fun. So I guess we kind of got off on the word high noon.
High noon.
I'm not sure where we're going with that one, but if you could give us the whole rundown on, you know, if someone were to come check out your lecture on past lives and just, you know, what really... know, sparked your interest, or what happened to make you, you know, want to research it?
Right. Well, basically, what the lecture itself is it's me. It's basically me telling a story. And you know, when I give my lecture, I always kind of give a little bit of a disclaimer, because this is about the concept of reincarnation. And my goal is not to set out and change people's religious views. You know, I don't want to change people's faith or anything. What I'm doing is I'm just out there telling a story. I'm just telling a story about something I went through. And the thing is, I already know what I believe. What I'm doing is I'm just telling my story and letting people interpret the information I tell and let them come up with their own opinions and their own views. And certainly my faith has evolved over time through this whole experience. But basically what happened is when I was about the age of 13, I had this incredibly vivid dream. I knew that I was a Confederate soldier in the Civil War. So through a series of dreams, I eventually did some past life regression sessions, and through that, I was actually able to take clues that I was able to find throughout these regressions and start doing research off of them. And over the years, I was able to dig up more and more, until I got to the point where I had a handful of historical documents that completely validated all of this information that I produced from my subconscious. It's one thing of having past life memories and talking about it. It's a completely different thing to have these memories and then go out, do research, and actually find documents completely supporting and validating everything you've come up with. So that's basically what my lecture is. It's just me talking about this incredible journey that I've been on and still am on, and kind of talking about how I went through the whole process of the dreams, then the regression, then the research. It's gotten a lot of positive feedback. I've had a lot of people who, you know, come up to me afterwards, or they'll email me afterwards and say that they've had, you know, certain past life memories. And basically what I end up doing is start coaching through the research process. And a lot of people, they have such strong, vivid memories, just like I did. And I'm telling them, like, you could do the exact same thing that I've done. So it's always very interesting, because a lot of times I end up just helping people with their own research and and kind of coaching them along the way. And it's been really great. You know, I've had a lot of people who come to my lecture and just find the story itself to be very moving. And as a result, you know, a lot of people like who are, you know, highly skilled in genealogy research and things like that just are happy to reach out and offer their services. So I've had a lot of people help me with the research just because they really found my story intriguing. So that's basically what you can expect from the lecture, is just me kind of standing up there and telling this story that, you know, happened to me when I was 13 and is continuing on up to this point now. So it's definitely a very, very, I try to keep it positive. You know, there are a few moments in the lecture where it can be kind of a little sad, you know. You know, it's a story of a soldier, you know, a family and a promising future, and you know, had his life cut short, as many young men did during the Civil War. But other than that, though, I try to keep it, you know, positive and very informative. But, you know, like I said, as a result, we've had a lot of positive feedback with it. So I really cannot wait to be at your convention, you know, Paranormal Supercon, and give it again. It's going to be great.
I'm looking forward to it. I wish I'd be able to sit in and enjoy it, but I don't relax at the event at all. I walk around.
Yeah, you'll be very busy there.
Yeah, I'll have to catch it again sometime else. But so when you had the regression, how did you seek out somebody to do your past life regression? Did you know somebody already, or your parents knew somebody, or what transpired there?
Actually, what I did, I didn't have anybody do it. What I went and did was I bought a self-meditation CD where basically you have someone guide you through this meditation, a self-meditation, and it's a self-regression. So I just listened to the CD, and it put me in a meditative state where I was able to go back into a regression. And through that process, I was able to pull out all this information about who I was and where I was from, and gain a little bit more clues that helped me do the research. But basically, the way this particular regression worked is, it talked about, you know, I was presented with all this information, basic information of, you know, who I was, where I was from, how old I was, and after you got that basic information, it went to one of your happiest memories from that lifetime. And for me, it was standing on my uncle's farm in Tennessee, looking out at the beautiful scenery with my girlfriend at the time. And then after that sequence, it goes to your death scene, and you actually see how you die. One thing that was really cool is actually after we were filmed for Ghost Inside My Child, when I was in Tennessee filming the second sequence of my episode, we were at the battlefield where I was killed at, and we met up with one of the historians there, and it was really incredible because he was actually able to validate everything that I had seen in my regression. He was able to historically validate, and it all coincided with what actually occurred that day. So that was really a neat experience for me, just to have that historian there kind of supporting everything I had claimed.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I find the topic very interesting myself. I had seen episodes of this show, but not yours specifically. And some of those are just, they're crazy. I found that, I thought they were, it was a good show. You know, I liked it. I thought, I think there was one with a little kid who said he jumped off the Twin Towers.
I've always done to have it done. I want to have it done. I don't think I could do it myself. I don't think I could do it myself. I mean, can anybody do it themselves? Or do you think that, you know, with your background and everything else, that it kind of was more so, I guess, easier for you to do so?
Right. Well, here's the thing. I meditate regularly, and mm-hmm. You know, I kind of expect, to a certain extent, I find out with people, everyone's different. And for a lot of people, they have a really hard time and they really struggle with it. Mostly because they're so self-conscious. They're constantly, like, talking to themselves, like, oh, you're not doing it right. You have to calm down more. Is this all my imagination, blah, blah, blah. And they feel that they need to have someone physically there guiding them. So a lot of people can't do it. But what I always tell people, my advice is, even if it feels like total BS, just roll with it. Whatever first thing comes to your head, just go with it and let it unfold before you. And afterwards, take a notebook and write down everything you remember, progression. And if lucky enough, like me, you know, actually do some research and actually validate some of it. But a lot of people do find, though, that it's easier to have someone physically there with them. That's why my mom, who will be giving, she'll be giving a past life regression session at the Paranormal Supercon, and that's usually kind of coupled with my lecture. You know, a lot of people who get her my lecture or her regression session will actually go to both of them because they'll hear my story and they'll think, wow, it's really interesting, and they'll want to do it for themselves. So they'll go to her meditation session. So she'll be doing that there, a live past life regression session. And then, of course, I'll be giving my lecture coupled with that. So it'll be really interesting to see.
Why don't you give your mom's website out as well, just for people listening, if you want to check it out. We'll give her a plug, too.
Yeah. Well, her website is www.deblance.com. Pretty simple. Just throwing it out there, Lance is spelled L-A-N-T-Z. A lot of people spell it like the first name. But, yeah, so just www.deblance.com. And again, mine's just nlance.com.
And I think that's another one I want to check out, but maybe I'll sneak away. I'll let Nikki run the whole thing for an hour. For 2 hours,
I don't get to go to any of the lectures. I get so excited because, you know, I've had the chance to work with, you know, Paranormal Spotlight Radio, and I have all these people on there telling me, you know, about what they're going to be talking about. I get so excited. And then, like, Rob literally, like, takes the needle to my big balloon that I'm, like, so excited, pops it. Like, you could stand outside and try to listen through the wall. I'm like,
yeah, as long as
he takes the fun out of it.
Taking pictures, man.
How am I going to take a picture from the outside of the lecture? I'm not that good.
That's true. We don't take breaks. We don't do anything.
So we don't get lunch breaks. We don't get any breaks. No union breaks. No bathroom breaks. No nothing.
Luckily, Life or Normal is not my help and my show hosts are not ran by a particular union, so there's no union agreement, which then would dictate me keeping in any sort of set breakage.
Yeah, there's no humanity.
I do allow for a potty break if they ask. I will give a pass.
With a bag.
There you go.
On our knees. Like, please.
It's not that bad.
I'm really looking forward to seeing all the people there and all the different lectures. It's gonna be. I was looking at the website and there's a lot of people that I don't know. And there's a few that I do know, but I know really well. So I'm extremely looking forward to catching up with old friends and meeting a buttload of new people. I'm super excited for it.
And, you know, it's what I like about it is it's not just regional. You know, a lot of the metaphysical fairs, the paranormal conventions and stuff is regional. When it comes to our guests and, you know, we do have, I mean, I'd be a fool not to pull, you know, the best people from Ohio and Pennsylvania because obviously that helps bring tickets in. But we pull from all different walks, which is nice. Why, you know, I like it. But of course, I've come with a biased opinion, but, you know, my paranormal is all over, you know, the world, not just regional. So that's why, you know, we have people come from all over. So, you know, normally you'll see a couple of people are strictly, you know, West Coast or, you know, down south into those conventions, but then you're also coming to the SuperCon. So it's kind of, it's nice that it's just not the normal regional conventions that sometimes you see, which is nothing wrong with those. You know, obviously I'm not trying to put down the regional conventions.
Right.
that, but it's kind of cool because I like the pulling from all over.
Oh, yeah. And I saw Chip Coffee and my old pal John Tenney's going to be there. Both of which I haven't seen those guys in forever, so I'm super stoked just to see them again.
Yeah, they are good friends of mine. I just talked to Chip. I talk to him all the time. He does the Chip Coffee radio show, which went on a small hiatus because I was supposed to run it. I was not capable of doing it, and he's coming. We just confirmed with his flights today, and so that's exciting. You know, he'll be doing his gallery, and we'll be investigating with him on Friday night.
Awesome.
And it's a crazy story, and there's a couple of, you know, we can sneak in there. We'll see if there's a broken window or something to come in. But that was just, you know, a joke, obviously based on the Ridges analogy, but every time I had gone to the Ambassador Center, a different person would tell me, hey, you got to check out this Hemingway ballroom. It's haunted. And, you know, in my opinion, every place we go, when we show up and say what we do or people know we're coming, they got a story to tell. And
right.
So I did not necessarily believe, you know, the first person. But I'm a stickler for, you know, make sure everything's running perfect. So I went there probably like four times. And every time I went there, somebody else came up to me, a worker at the facility, and they said, you know, you got to check out the crazy stuff going on in this Hemingway room. And, you know, by like the fourth time it happened to me, I'm like, I was intrigued. You know, and it was people that not necessarily you would think would talk to them, each other, and like, you know, being cahoots with this, hey, let's get the ghost guy, let's fabricate the story, because it would be a great joke if they were able to pull that one off. But so when Chip came to the SuperCon last year, you know, we were at the same location, and they came to, another set of people who worked there came to Chip and say, come check out the Hemingway. You know, we feel like it's crazy, crazy haunted, and a lot of activity. And, you know, Chip walked through, so he sensed a bunch of stuff there. You know, then I came with the idea, you know, why don't we investigate it for the SuperCon? It's ideal. You know, and then obviously when you put a investigation at the same place you're conveniently holding an expo, you know, you would think people would be like, oh, you know, that's too convenient. It's just for making money. But we went and investigated. I investigated with Mickey and a couple of local people, and we were getting some interesting activity. And so we'll be there. Hopefully, if you want to come, you know, we'll be investigating with Chip in the Hemingway Ballroom on Friday night. And I'm just hoping we get some reference to the name Murphy, because we kept getting Murphy and
Captain Murphy.
And, you know, the odd thing was we were in Baltimore like a month and a half ago, and Chip was talking about his connection with Murphy's. I thought that was so ironic because we were there investigating. We were saying, hey, we're coming back with Chip Coffee, you know, doing investigation. You know, is there anywhere here? And we kept getting Murphy and then Captain Murphy. And sadly enough, Chip Coffee didn't have any, you know, reference to a Captain Murphy, which I would have just fallen over because it was, you know, fantastic. But
but when he was saying his story, I think we might have smacked each other like 1,000 times going, Murphy, oh my God, Murphy, you know, because it was like one of those things. It's like, you know, to us it just was a sign.
Right.
Right. It was the coincidence there of, you know, being at a place where we're saying, hey, Chip Coffee's coming, and we kept getting Murphy. And then we're at a convention in Baltimore, and Chip is talking about this childhood story, and it's all based on the Murphys. It was kind of a bizarre coincidence. So we'll see if we get that, then I'll be, I'm a huge skeptic in general, paranormal. You know, I love it, but, you know, there's a lot. Majority skeptic. So, you know, if we get another Murphy hit while we're there on that Friday, I would be very enthused about it. So, you know, you're welcome to join us.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think it's gonna be fantastic. But now we built it all up, and we're not gonna get any Murphys. Yeah, no more.
Well, Murphy-less. No, but I'm excited, you know. And I definitely want to learn more about past life regression. I mean, I've, you know, seen and heard so many times. I want to have one. And, you know,
right.
I know I can't do it myself. I have ADHD. It would be messy. But, you know, I definitely want to sit in for your lecture. So, Rob, whether or not I'm allowed to have off, guess what? I think I've said this about everyone, though, because I love the paranormal, and I love, like, all the different, everything that everyone's going to bring to the table is just going to be so awesome. And
right.
I want to sit in for this one, too, Rob. So I'm going to take a break.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's always so hard because there's always so many really cool lectures going on, and you obviously can't go to all of them. So I always tell people, I'm always way more than happy to sit down. I mean, I can, it's as easy as me pulling up my laptop and showing you the PowerPoint. I mean, I can pull up the slide, and I'll just talk to you about I'll tell you my story. So even if you can't make it, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about past lives and my personal theories and reincarnation and all that fun stuff.
Awesome.
I think we have to
see. Okay, good. See, Rob,
there.
I'm going to get to find out one way or another.
Yep. That's definitely a jackpot. As long as it's done not on business hours, then there's nothing I can say about it. So.
Okay, Rob.
Well, it's been fantastic having you on tonight. We look forward to seeing you. Why don't we go with one more plug? Tell people where they can get the book, case they are just tuning in, which is, you know, their loss. They'll have to listen to the whole thing and archive as soon as the show ends. But give us one more big plug on, you know, yourself, your book, your website, which, you know,
all right.
It's all fantastic.
Well, my book is called Ghosts and Legends of Athens, Ohio. You can get off of Amazon.com. You can get on Kindle. If you go to my website, www.nlance.com, you can follow the link to buy my book on there. There's also a lot of updates on the events I'm going to, all the cool projects I've been doing lately. I've been doing a lot of short films and video projects lately. So everything I keep up to date is on there. So you can always know what I'm doing lately. Also, if you want to follow my mom's stuff, just go to www.deblance.com. Pretty simple. And same goes for her. You know, all the stuff she's been doing lately, all of her updates, it's all on our website. So we cannot wait to be at Paranormal Supercon. It's going to be a blast.
Well, I definitely appreciate you you coming, and definitely check out the stuff that Nick does with the production company. We will post that, also all the links on the archive, which will be available tomorrow, or if you're listening to the archive, it's available now, and you've just listened. So, you know. Once again, we definitely appreciate you, and we will talk to you soon and see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming, and I can't wait to talk to you.
Yeah, me too.
All
right,
well,
I guess that wraps up another fantastic live paranormal Spotlight Radio with your lovely hosts, Rob and Nikki, which we have to work on that introduction for next week because I'm still not.
Oh my gosh.
Not digging the lovely.
Lovely, fantastic, fabulous, and wonderful. Just wait, I'm going
to
do a one-hour show, not next week because we've got Chip Coffee as your guest. I'm going to do a one-hour introduction for you, all sorts of adjectives involved. It's going to be great.
There'll be two people who can easily talk about themselves if it's me and Chip Coffee.
I know, I can't wait to pop popcorn and watch.
I'm just kidding. We very rarely talk about ourselves at Life for Normal. It's mostly, unless it's something funny, we're doing a spotlight, which is kind of more laid-back interviews. So it's more fun. So, yeah, when we're doing the heavy hitters, we never gloat. Or we make fun of each other. We do that quite well.
Definitely.
So, I guess join us next week for Chip Coffee, and we will see everybody one week from tonight.
Yep. Night, everyone.